Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, on the first full day of his pastoral visit to the African nation of Cameroon, we have a report on Pope Benedict's meeting with the country's Catholic bishops in Yaoundé. Vatican spokesperson Father Lombardi, who's travelling with the Pope, gives us his impressions of the papal trip so far. Cardinal Arinze talks about the importance of the upcoming Synod of Bishops for Africa, ahead of Pope Benedict's handover of the Synod's working document to bishops from the entire continent. And we hear from two priests in Cameroon about the main issues facing the church and the people there. Pope Benedict is in Cameroon on the second day of his pastoral visit to Africa, his first to the continent as Pope. Situated in West Africa, Cameroon has a population of around 18 million people, of whom more than a quarter are Catholic. After spending just over 3 days in the Cameroonian capital of Yaoundé, the Pope will fly on to Angola for the second and final leg of his week-long trip to the continent. In Angola, the focus of his visit will be on celebrating the 500th anniversary of Christian evangelization there and encouraging the country in its reconciliation process after nearly 3 decades of civil war. The Pope is scheduled to return to Rome on Monday, the 23rd.
Among the many challenges facing you in your responsibility as pastors, the situation of the family is of a particular concern. The difficulties arising from the impact of modernity and secularization on traditional society inspire you to defend vigorously the essential values of the African family and to give high priority to its thorough evangelization.
In that extract you just heard, Pope Benedict was speaking to the Catholic bishops of Cameroon on Wednesday morning in a wide-ranging address delivered partly in French and partly in English. Our correspondent travelling with the Pope is Festus Tarawali from Vatican Radio's Africa programme, who filed this report from Yaoundé on that meeting with the bishops.
The church in Cameroon has some characteristics that makes it unique. It's bilingual, it's young but also very vocal and attentive to the concerns of the citizens of this country. It is a growing church and a church that is used to big papal events. But it is also a church that is facing many problems in its fight against corruption and injustices, the spread of sects, superstitious beliefs, and the watering down of the faith. Against this backdrop, Pope Benedict XVI, in his meeting with the 31 bishops of this country on Wednesday, called on them not to relent in their fight against these ills, saying that first and foremost, they should be united by a profound communion with one another if they are to undertake their mission of evangelization. The Pope exhorted the pastors to follow the model of St. Paul in this year dedicated to the apostles by being themselves above all preachers of the faith, leading new disciples to Christ. The Holy Father then spoke about the urgency of pastoral solidarity, which should be extended with generosity to the other local churches. He called on the bishops to follow with particular attention the candidates to the priesthood, the Christian families, the lay people and the youth, and to promote the rights of women. In this way, he anticipated his meeting with women in Angola this Sunday. Be the first defenders of human rights of the poor and promote the church as a family of God, founded on love, on reconciliation and peace, Pope Benedict XVI told the bishops during the cordial encounter. The meeting took place at a simple church in the neighborhood of Chinga. Christ Roi, or Christ the King Church, is one of the most important churches in Yaoundé. It was here that President Paul Biya got married years ago. With his talk to the bishops, so rich in contents and considering the atmosphere in which the meeting was held, the Pope has in a way interpreted the expectations of many Catholic faithful I have spoken to since my arrival here on Saturday. With the Pope in Cameroon, I am Festus Tarawali.
Early on Wednesday, the Pope paid a courtesy call on Cameroon's President Paul Biya at his residence, where the two men held private talks. After lunching with the bishops at the Apostolic Nunciature in Yaoundé, the Pope travelled to the Basilica of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Here he was due to celebrate Vespers with the bishops, priests, religious, seminarians, deacons, lay movements, and with the representatives of other Christian denominations in Cameroon, and deliver an address to the gathering. Father Federico Lombardi, who is travelling with the Pope, is the Vatican spokesperson and also head of Vatican Radio and Television. He shared with Festus Tarawali his impressions of how the papal visit to Cameroon has gone so far.
I think it was a really a wonderful day because the people on the street in Yaoundé were really wonderful. They were hundreds of thousands of people with joy, with songs, with dance. And so the Pope was really welcome. And I think that this is the best way to begin this trip. The Pope has already given a very important speech in the airport, I think, because he has already pointed out some very essential, crucial point for justice, for peace, for engagement, reconciliation in the society in Cameroon, but also in the whole continent. But it was, I think, also the accueil from the people that has given us the impression that there is great attention from the society and from the entire continent. And I think we have the best hopes for the success of this trip.
And a final question: there is, of course, the big day on Thursday, the Mass at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium with the bishops of Africa, where the Pope will present the Instrumentum Laboris. What encouragement would you like to give to the Episcopate of Africa with regards to the Second African Synod?
I think that the first Synod for Africa was already a very great impulse for the development of the Church, for the encouragement for the evangelization of this continent. This is the continent in which the Church has the largest growth of new Christians in the entire world, and has also many important challenges for the faith, for the Christian life, and also for the life in the society, for the problem of justice, peace, and so on. And to come together in a continental synod, this is really an encouragement, because the bishop conferences are sometimes little or isolated, and they need to feel that they are part of a great and larger community, a universal community that is in solidarity with them. And this is a very important encouragement. The coming of the Pope to Africa is really for this family of God, that is the Church, an exceptional occasion to be more conscious of his universal community.
That was Vatican spokesperson Father Lombardi talking to Festus Tarawali. Before setting out on his trip to Africa, the Pope said he wanted to wrap his arms around the entire continent with its painful wounds and its enormous potential and hopes. And some of those hopes for Africa are centred on the steady growth of the Church across the continent, as mentioned earlier by Father Lombardi. Vatican figures show that baptised Catholics made up 17% of the African population in 2006, compared with 12% in 1978. These figures show that Africa is the area of the world where the Church is growing the fastest. And this theme of hope, despite Africa's many problems, was reiterated by the Pope during his arrival speech in Yaoundé on Tuesday afternoon. Festus Tarawali picks up the story.
Pope Benedict XVI's plane touched down on Cameroonian soil a few minutes ahead of the expected arrival time of 4 p.m. on Tuesday at Nsimalen International Airport amidst fanfare. A loud roar could be heard from the crowds below when the Pope's plane was spotted in the sun-drenched skies of the Cameroonian capital. Festive and cordial, this is how I want to describe this first appointment by this German-born Pope to a country that was first colonized by Germans and a country that has been dubbed as Africa in miniature. Cameroon's President Paul Biya, accompanied by government dignitaries and members of the diplomatic corps, were on hand together with the Archbishop of Yaoundé, Simon Tonye Bakot, Cardinal Christian Toumi of Douala, and other religious leaders to receive the Holy Father.
De vous souhaiter une chaleureuse bienvenue dans notre pays.
In remarks to the Holy Father, Cameroon's president warmly welcomed this distinguished visitor and expressed the gratitude of the people of this country to the Holy Father for having chosen Cameroon as his first stop in this historic visit to Africa. The president said in spite of the problems the country is facing, his government has gone a long way to promote democracy and social development.
Je viens parmi vous comme pasteur.
In his address, Pope Benedict reiterated this pastoral aspect by stressing that he has come to Cameroon to confirm his brothers and sisters in the faith, as this was the role entrusted to Peter at the Last Supper, and as the successor of Peter, it is also his role, he said.
It was here in Yaoundé, in 1995, that my venerable predecessor, Pope John Paul II, promulgated the post-synodal apostolic exhortation Ecclesia in Africa, the fruit of the first Special Assembly for Africa of the Synod of Bishops.
He said he has come to Cameroon to present the document that will guide the Second African Synod, which will be held in Rome from the 4th to the 25th of October. Pope Benedict prayed that the work of that synod will fan into a flame the gifts that the Spirit has poured out upon the Church in Africa.
Almost 10 years into the new millennium, this moment of grace is a summons to all the bishops, priests, religious, and lay faithful of the continent to rededicate themselves to the mission of the Church to bring hope to the hearts of the people of Africa and indeed to people throughout the world. Even amid the greatest suffering, the Christian message always brings hope.
In his speech, therefore, the Pope referred to the many problems facing Africa, including poverty, violence, corruption, and the abuse of power, but said even amidst the greatest challenges facing the continent, a Christian can never be silent, adding that the Christian message needs to be proclaimed loud and clear. At this time of global food shortages, financial turmoil, and disturbing patterns of climate change, continued the Holy Father, Africa cries out for reconciliation, justice, and peace.
Que Dieu bénisse le Cameroun et que Dieu bénisse l'Afrique. Merci.
God bless Cameroon and God bless Africa, Pope Benedict concluded. After the ceremony, the Pope Mobile then made its way amid more jubilation by thousands of people who lined the 25-kilometer road to the Papal Nuncio's residence. With the Pope in Cameroon, I am Festus Tarawali.
One of the main highlights of the Pope's visit to Cameroon will be his meeting on Thursday with bishops from all over Africa. At this meeting, he will hand deliver to the prelates the working document for the Synod of Bishops on Africa that will be held in the Vatican this October. The Synod's theme is the Church in Africa at the service of justice, reconciliation and peace. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Cardinal Francis Arinze is Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. He is also one of the presidents of the Special Assembly for the Synod of Bishops on Africa and is himself a native of Nigeria that borders Cameroon. Before leaving for Yaoundé, I asked him what can we expect from this upcoming synod.
I will only express my hope, but what the synod de facto will do will depend on the participants, under God's grace. My hope, encouragement of efforts made so far for reconciliation, as in South Africa, for harmony, they call themselves a rainbow nation, encouragement of efforts at transparent political elections, like Ghana. I may not expect the synod to name countries, where an opposition party wins election and takes over the government within a week in peace and not in pieces. I would expect that. I would expect the synod to warn on the negative consequences of lack of justice and peace, and also the suffering of the refugees, their hunger, their losing of their homes, their losing of their farm, the also injustice of corruption, those who take the money of the country, those in public life who don't use it for their people properly, or who put it in their private bank accounts overseas. I would expect the synod also to mention the collaborators of such selfish people who are to be found in the northern parts of the world. It isn't all in Africa, because you need more than one person to swipe the money of a country and bank it overseas and make it difficult to track down.
What about the question of inculturation, making the liturgy more African in style when it comes to music, etc.? Is this a keenly felt issue in Cameroon, Angola, and indeed other African countries?
Yes, inculturation is important everywhere, especially in Africa, and it is felt keenly. The bishops are taking steps, realizing that it is easier to enunciate the principles than to do the actual inculturation, and realizing that enthusiasts who are not well guided could do a lot of damage. Those who think inculturation means someone who develops an idea on Saturday evening and forces it down on the innocent people on Sunday morning. Inculturation demands much more than that. The bishops would have to set up a study group of experts in theology, music, literature, ethnology, customs of the people, liturgy, and sincere and downright theology and biblical knowledge. Only then, when the experts have studied and singled out an item the bishops think to insert in the church worship, only then will the experts will bring all this to the bishops. The bishops then examine carefully in their joint meeting. When they vote in favor, majority, then they bring the matter to the Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacrament here in Vatican City, because the church should be local but also universal. Only when everything is okay, then it will be carried out and it will be seen that this will be healthy for the church. But if an enthusiast is allowed to run wild with an idea, self-made, and in a hurry, then we are in for trouble, and the local church will be compelled to gather the pieces afterwards. We don't want that.
I was speaking there to Cardinal Francis Arinze. Another key event during this papal trip to Cameroon is the Pope's meeting on Thursday with representatives of the country's Muslim community, which comprise about 22% of the population. Father Sosten Bayeme Eseka is a Cameroonian priest and a member of the committee that prepared the papal visit. Although Cameroon has many different religions and ethnic groups among its population, he says relations between Christians and Muslims are generally good.
In Cameroon, we have three main religions. We have the Christian Church, Catholic and Presbyterian, Anglicans. The Christian, they are about 40% of the whole population, while the Muslim are about 25%. We have only adepts of traditional religions. There are quite a good number of them also. We don't have open conflicts with Muslims, for instance. From time to time, we have small things, small problems. But then the danger is there. That may come from Chad, from Nigeria, because Chad is always in conflict with Sudan. And from Nigeria, we have from time to time some radicalist group. Every end of the year, there is a prayer that unites Christians, Muslims, and all those who are men of goodwill. So the reality is there. We hope that the peace we have will go on, will last long.
Father Eseka goes on to spell out the main pastoral priorities of the Catholic Church in Cameroon.
The church in Cameroon is trying to build up a new program for the social teaching of the church. It is true that for the time being, the social teaching of the church as such is only taught in major seminaries and in the university. But then in Boya, Bamenda, Douala, Yaoundé, we are starting a new cycle with the formation of the laity. And then 2 or 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, the church published a booklet on how to fight against poverty, on how to create well-being up to 2015. And the church is also fighting corruption. We have new things that are really tackling life in Cameroon. Above all, abortion that is growing. We have less problem with the end of life, but with the starting life, I think we have much to do about it. What I can say is that it is a challenge for the church in Cameroon, the social teaching, not only to teach it, but also to apply it concretely. Above all, in Africa, in many countries, the church remains the only voice that can speak for the voiceless. The church is the only one that can say what is the truth about corruption, about the differences that exist in our society. This synod is more complicated than the first one. It is going towards the world. That's the church not only witnessing inside itself, but also trying to be a sacrament that can change the world. So it is a great challenge for the church.
That was Father Bayemi Eseka, a Cameroonian priest. Originally from Uganda, Father Andrew Mukulu is the superior of the Mill Hill Missionaries in Cameroon and is based in the north of the country. I asked him what message the people of Cameroon are looking for from Pope Benedict during this visit.
The message they are looking for from the Pope is really a word of encouragement, especially in relation to the struggles they are facing. I think they are looking for a word of encouragement, affirming them in their faith. I think that is something they are looking for.
Now, you talked there about the struggles they are having to cope with. Can you tell us something about these struggles and elaborate a bit further?
The social situation of Cameroon is quite difficult. There is a lot of unemployment, generally brought on by lack of investment. So there is many young people who are looking for work and the opportunities are not there. Most of the jobs that are available are in the public service and there is not really many industries. So there is a bit of a struggle on that side. But at the same time, there are people of great faith and the Catholic Church here is very high, well-founded.
The church is, in fact, growing rapidly throughout Africa. Why do you believe it's growing faster there than in any other area of the world at the moment? I mean, to what do you attribute this factor?
Here I attribute it to the foundations that were laid a lot by the missionaries, particularly here in West Africa, like in Cameroon here. The foundations were quite strong, and so you have a population right from the early 50s, 60s who are well founded in the faith. And so now there are generations of children, all are brought up in the faith, plus the fact that quite a lot of the educational institutions, the prominent ones, are Catholic. And so in that way, I think it is a good foundation that has kept the growth of the church very strong.
Coming back to some of the struggles and problems that the population in Cameroon faces, you mentioned earlier unemployment, but I know that one of the most pressing issues, or at least one of the issues that many people come across in their daily lives, is the problem of corruption, which I gather is particularly high in Cameroon. Can you tell us something about this problem?
Yeah, that's a major problem that even the government and the authorities acknowledge. So it's really rampant in the sense that you see it in many spheres. Sometimes you see it even on the road, forces soliciting money from people who are traveling. You hear it about in the judiciary, people who go with the cases. You hear it for any procurement or any contract, you have to go through a series of bribings and the rest. And the government has been trying to, there's a current drive, but it's still a long way to go because I think the whole issue has been deeply rooted in society, that it will take them a long time. Very often nowadays you hear the arrest of officials who have taken exorbitant amounts of money, and so that is ongoing, but I think the thing is so rooted that it will take a long while. And that is very frustrating for business, it's very frustrating for them because they can't make profit, because if they have to pay for all these other people for to bring goods in the country and all that, so that's a big challenge that the country faces, yes.
Cameroon is a quite stable country with no, it's not been ravaged by serious armed conflicts like, you know, many other countries in Africa. But it does still have a problem of poverty, does it? And although it has oil reserves, like in other countries, this wealth doesn't seem to be trickling down to reach the population at large.
Yeah, that is there is oil reserves, I think, recently in one of the peninsulas called Bakassi that are yet to be exploited. There are some which are being exploited already. But it's not trickling down. The people, the country is stable in the sense of that there isn't violence, military violence and all that. And the other advantage, with the other blessing that the country has, is a very fertile country. And so that makes the people manage, despite the problems, they can grow their foods in the gardens and then they just continue on. And the state of stability, that sense of absence of war, is also a great blessing. But as far as the outlying places are concerned, it's very evident that it's not really trickling down. You don't see the evidence of that, especially when you move up country. People are largely managing, you know, with the subsistence and just small businesses.
Coming to the Catholic Church in Cameroon, what are the key issues facing the Catholic Church in Cameroon at this moment?
At this moment, the issues that are facing them, I mean, the church itself faces a bit of a challenge in being able to carry out the education, their education role, because I think in the past they used to get a lot of support, financial aid, and a bit of a subsidy also from government, but that is now less. The challenge, of course, also is that there is quite a challenge to the youth. You notice that to some extent there is a reduction in numbers of youth, especially in the urban centers. And so that is the challenge. The whole modern life seems to challenge the traditional way of church in the country, because with the whole modern life and individualism, you get a sense people are kind of drifting away. So I would say that would be the educational challenges of being able to carry out Catholic education in this modern era, and being able to maintain the youth, to keep them within the church. That is also a challenge because of modernity.
I was speaking there to Father Andrew Mukulu, a Mill Hill missionary in Cameroon.
Well, that's all from Vatican Radio's English programme for today, but we'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow. Laudato Jesus Christus.